We move one more episode closer to a milestone of 300 lifetime episodes of the Todd Wright Toddcast. Hi, I'm Todd Wright, recording this on Monday afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern Time hour. This will be my one pre-NFL draft podcast, and then I'll try to get you something after the first round, maybe after the second round. We'll see what those who handle the logistics of posting think about how quick they can get something up there. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. So hopefully I can get this posted to you within the next 24 hours or so, since there's a timestamp on it. The timestamp is we just kind of learned of the Zach Wilson deal. So on Monday, we learned the Broncos have new uniforms, and most were very uninspired by them. And then we also learned that Zach Wilson may be wearing one of those uniforms. So not a good day for the Broncos based on response. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Huge supporters of my podcast and Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. Remember, Todd Wright Tour XLVII, Todd Wright Tour 47, ending our ninth golf season, will be May 13th at Lake Jovita Golf and Country Club on the South Course. As has been the case with the previous 46 golf events, the 47th golf event also will not cost $100 or more. $95 gets you in the field, just like Brandon Legal Group is in the field and providing some prizes to winning teams. For information on that golf tournament, our events are open to the public. ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. For a free consult with Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm, BrandonLegalGroup.com or call 813-902-3576. Remember, if you are an adult male residing in the state of Florida and you continue to pay permanent alimony, would you stop? I don't mean just stop because that's illegal, but if you reach out to Brandon Legal Group, they can help alleviate or potentially eliminate future financial payments, because permanent alimony has not been law in the state of Florida since July 1st of 2023. So why not save yourself some money? If you are paying permanent alimony, reach out to Brandon Legal Group for a free consultation. Pin Chasers, four locations, newest location in Brandon. Brandon Legal Group even went there shortly after Pin Chasers in Brandon opened. So many nightly specials, including Cyber Bowling 21 and up, with drink specials on Sunday nights. There are other nights that are the Pizza Bowl. It's unlimited pizza with unlimited bowling in the late evening. You can find all these specials at pinchasers.net or by following them on Instagram. Pin Chasers Bowling Food and Fun for lane reservations or to plan a party with them. And I give away those parties at my Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. Visit pinchasers.net, bowling, food, and fun. My email for podcast purposes, if it's not golf-related, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Last year in this spot, we hit a home run. And some of you even brought this up at the JoeBucksFan.com draft party when Bijan Robinson went off the board at 8 to the Atlanta Falcons. I know one person who listens to this podcast actually said to someone with JoeBucksFan.com that I called that shot on this podcast. I don't know who that person is, and if you want to come forward and send me an email and say that was you, I'd just like to thank you for listening, because it's little things like that. First of all, I try to get as much right as I can. I do. It's not always going to be correct. But when I hit a home run like that, it's nice when someone actually praises me for doing so. I don't know if I can do that again this year, but we're going to run through some things. And I don't think I've ever done it like this. You know, there are a lot of mock drafts out there, and they're going to change so much by the time this podcast is posted, by the time you listen to it. Who the hell knows? Again, we're timestamping this roughly the 3 p.m. Eastern hour on Monday afternoon. Again, Zach Wilson has just moved from the Jets to the Broncos shortly after the Broncos announced less than inspiring new uniforms. They took the pointed stripe off the middle of the one helmet, and they have a white helmet, but the rest of the uniform is dark. At least they don't have the cheesy Rocky Mountaintops on the sleeves, which was leaked a couple of months ago. Those appear to be not happening, so that's a good thing. Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Media, NFL Network, NFL.com, is one of the better ones out there, in my opinion, in terms of his information. And I want to play off something he posted today, late this morning, on NFL.com. It's under Daniel Jeremiah's top 150 prospects in the 2024 NFL draft class. So instead of me running through teams, I'm going to use Jeremiah's rankings as of late Monday morning for just talking points about players, and then I'll throw in my own opinion, and we'll see how many we do. So let me get started with Caleb Williams. I'm a little skeptical on Caleb Williams. I understand he was going to go number one whenever he came out. He seemed to lose his teammates at USC this past year. And that to me is a little concerning. I don't want to compare it to in the movie Draft Day. Remember, Kevin Costner kind of watches the film and sees that this quarterback isn't being helped up by his teammates, and like no one went to his birthday party, and he's trying to get an answer from the agent why. That's just what came to mind. And we hear some things about how Caleb handles himself. At his pro day, Keenan Allen was in attendance, and Caleb didn't even look his way on a particular piece of video. I want to believe in him. The league needs good quarterbacks. I have little interest in the Bears being good. To me, it's fun that they're not. That the one Bears team that was good, that won it all, was so damn good, and no one's been close to that, even when the Bears got to Super Bowl 41 and Hester returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown, and the Bears lost because Rex Grossman touches the ball more than Devin Hester. Lost to the Colts. That was the game in the rain where Prince played the halftime show. One thing Daniel Jeremiah says about Caleb Williams that is also a red flag to me: his creativity makes him special, but he will need to play more on schedule at the next level. One of the issues with Dak Prescott is that often Dak is not what is called on time. And the simplest way I can explain being on schedule as a quarterback or on time is based on the play call when you pull the trigger on making your decision what to do with the ball. And that, I think, is a major issue with Dak Prescott, and why I personally would like to see the Cowboys move on from Dak after this year, unless Dak can lead the Cowboys to an NFC championship game, not fail miserably in that NFC championship game, and the same applies to a Super Bowl. Because in the end, it's all about winning the Super Bowl, or what are you doing this for? And if you have a quarterback who can't win you a Super Bowl, you might want to keep looking for somebody else. Dak gets in trouble when he's not on time. If this is an issue for Caleb Williams, that he's not on schedule, then perhaps there's a ceiling for Caleb Williams that also currently exists for Dak Prescott and others because they don't know when to pull the trigger on a throw or not to throw. Daniel Jeremiah has Marvin Harrison at 2. He won't go second in the draft because teams overvalue quarterbacks, and those that don't have them feel they need to get them. So whoever takes Marvin Harrison, I think, will be very pleased with him. Not going to say I don't expect him to be as good as Justin Jefferson's first few years in the NFL, but I think it will be close, and I look forward to watching him play. At 3 is Odunze. So we're not even to another quarterback yet. I'll take it another step. Neighbors is 4. So what Daniel Jeremiah is basically saying is that there are 3 receivers who are probably better pro prospects than all but one quarterback. So the plan likely is that Washington, probably New England, and then whoever does something with Arizona at 4, unless Arizona just says, you know what, we're taking a wide receiver and we're just going to sit tight and take our guy at 4. Because Daniel Jeremiah says the 3 receivers are all better prospects than the quarterbacks. Ultimately, the teams that draft these wide receivers need a quarterback to get them the football. But the longer Harrison, Odunze, or Neighbors stay on the board, the better value for whomever the team is that drafts them. Then Jeremiah does put Drake May at 5 and Jaden Daniels at 6. I think if you were to ask 100 people who feel as though they follow football, that have watched college football, that watch pro football, that have an eye on the draft, who would you rather have, May or Daniels? I think more would say Daniels than would say May. They're different. I think Daniels is buoyed by the huge numbers he put up at a program that produces NFL caliber talent on a regular basis. May is hurt by 2 previous North Carolina quarterbacks who have come into the league as starters and been to no good, being Trubisky and Howell. I think I'd take Daniels. If you asked me who I wanted, I'm rooting for both of them. I don't know that either in the long run. I want to believe that May can be a Josh Allen type player. I think that's the ceiling for him. For Daniels, and some may scoff at this, but we don't have enough scoffing in the world. I think Daniels is Bryce Young with height, which means I think he's going to be good. So that's how I feel about those 2. And it seems like Washington's trying to decide. I like what Gil Alexander said on A Numbers Game on VSiN, and he has skin in the game because he's a longtime Washington Redskins apologist. Gil said it like this. Gil said, if you're the GM, you're the new owner, you're Dan Quinn, you're all new people, this pick is going to define you. potentially can get the GM fired, Dan Quinn fired, the owner not going to fire himself. If you go May over Daniels and it doesn't work out, you look really bad. If you go Daniels over May and Daniels doesn't work out, you don't look as bad. I agree with that perception from Gil, that if you're worried about the fallout, you take Daniels. If you firmly believe May can do anything close in this league to what Josh Allen has done, and that any comparisons to Trubisky and Howell from North Carolina are not valid, then go for it. Then go for it. Daniel Jeremiah has Bowers at 7. I would be excited if I'm the team that drafts this guy, because as the NFL has evolved into such a passing league, when you have big-time talents at the tight end position that basically don't play a traditional tight end, you win big. You think of what Gronk meant to New England and Tampa Bay. You think of what Travis Kelce has meant to the Kansas City Chiefs. And those are just two examples, but they are recent examples of what having a uniquely gifted, physical, fast, durable. Gronk wasn't as durable later in his career, but what it means, how uncoverable those guys are. You put a cornerback on them, they're not big enough. You put a safety on them, safeties can't cover. That's why they play safety. Put a linebacker on them, the tight end can outrun them. What do you do? What do you do? At the time I'm recording this podcast, there's a report that Howie Roseman of the Eagles is looking to move up. Part of that looking to move up could be to get a Terrion Arnold, who Daniel Jeremiah has at 9. There's another corner to follow him. It may very well be. Perhaps because I'm a jaded Cowboy fan who sees that the Eagles draft next man up and they have gone to more NFC title games than any team in the NFC in the 21st century. Wouldn't surprise me at all if the Eagles trade up and draft Brock Bowers. Boom. And drop him into that offense to give it a little more juice. Yeah. Joe Alt is 9. Tackle from Notre Dame, widely considered the first offensive lineman off the board for a team that, you know, it's tough for some teams to just be like, wow, there's all these quarterbacks out there. There are these wide receivers out there. Brock Bowers is out there. There are these pass rushers out there. There's we need a cornerback. Are we really going to do? Yeah, because if you don't have an offensive line. Yeah. So someone's going to get a very good player in Joe Alt. Their fan base might not be that excited about it, but it'll probably work out very well. Terrion Arnold is 9th on Daniel Jeremiah's board. This is ranked on prospects, not based on draft order of teams. Originally was a safety prospect at Bama who moved to corner and likes to tackle. Something even Deion didn't like to do. Another reason I like this is because if he was brought in to be a safety and they moved him to corner, it was because they realized he would be wasted at safety. Because to me, safeties can't cover. It says that Arnold can. And he's not a tackling liability, which is probably why he played safety in the first place. Fuaga from Oregon State is next on Jeremiah's board at 10. He's also someone, not quite as much as Barton, who can play multiple positions on the offensive line. So if you were a team that, you know, we might need him to play this, but we might need him to play this. I think unless you are looking for him to play center, if you just need a guy to play tackle or guard, Fuaga will be your guy. Then, is it Fautanu from Washington, who can play all five spots, is next at 11, help keep Penix upright in the run to the national title game. So there's three offensive linemen in the top 11 prospects. And no, notice we haven't brought up J.J. McCarthy yet. Quinyon Mitchell is the second corner off the board. He's also physical. He likes to tackle. He likes to play run defense. He seems to recover quickly, so he may make some mistakes in coverage. Not sure how coachable he is. You know, if a kid from Toledo is mentioned as one of the top 12 prospects, he's probably got something good going, because it takes a lot to stand out when you played there. And very experienced. He was a senior. Dallas Turner, right? I brought up how I hit the home run last year with Atlanta at 8 drafting Robinson. Virtually everywhere I look, it says Atlanta at 8 takes this guy. Because they've gone offense the previous 3 years early with what in order, right? Is it Pitts, London, Robinson they've gone? I think ultimately Atlanta may trade out of the spot. If you're 8, why would you take the 13th best prospect at 8? So I'm just thinking Atlanta might be up to something. If they really like Turner, they can probably get him a little bit later. Comes from a big-time program that produces big-time NFL talent. He would be, what, the second player off the board from Alabama after Arnold. Versus next, and do we all hear that Verse seems to be available later in the first round? I'm not sure why. I did hear someone whose opinion I respect say, little tight in the hips. Okay, translation. Does that mean his change of direction, you know, or trying to make a quick move on an offensive lineman, or that he needs a little bit more of an arc, an extra step to get somewhere? I mean, he can just push a blocker back into the quarterback, according to Jeremiah, and he plays the run well. So I loved him at Florida State. The odd part is I think Atlanta taking Turner at 8 would be too soon, but I think if Verse goes near the bottom of the first round, that someone would love to get him there, or might trade up to get him there. Then you have another offensive tackles at Fashanu from Penn State developing. This seems a little risky, but I guess late first round, early second round. Okay. Leatu Latu, medical history at the University of Washington, seemed to overcome that at UCLA. Not known for his speed, not known for his power, known for his skill. How will that translate to making plays at the National Football League level? Is he still fast enough and big enough to do that, considering how smart he is, how good he is with his hands, and how his technique? That one could go either way. all it takes is one to say, no, we want that guy because of his football IQ and his skills. Maybe not being the fastest guy, maybe not being the biggest guy. The next wide receiver is Brian Thomas. Makes a lot of big plays. Can line up in the slot. Beats press coverage. Might be overlooked. I mean, in another draft, Brian Thomas might be the first or second guy off the board. In this one, especially with Neighbors in his own class, Brian Thomas strikes me, he could be a Buffalo Bill. Yeah, just I'll throw that out there. Then the next player from Alabama, Latham, concerns about his foot quickness and awareness. Funny, not comparing them because they play different schools and different sides of the ball. Everything Latu doesn't have, Latham has. Size, physicality. Everything Latham doesn't have, Latu has. So it's what do you see in a guy? What do you need? What do you feel is coachable? What do you feel he can overcome? Then Murphy, defensive tackle from Texas. Then we get to McCarthy at 20. Daniel Jeremiah says, I see some similarities to Alex Smith coming out of college. Alex Smith went number one. I think we all like Alex Smith. We're all just happy he's healthy. He can get around. He had a horrible injury, similar to the Joe Theismann injury. And then he was replaced by Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, and you know that was kind of it. And the injury happened after that when he went to Washington. McCarthy didn't throw a lot of passes late in games at Michigan. He did help lead them back in regulation and then in overtime to win against Alabama in the Rose Bowl in the national semifinals prior to winning a national championship. I want to believe in J.J. McCarthy, but I'm sorry I don't. And Daniel Jeremiah having him at 20 to me is very telling. Then we get to Chop Robinson, edge pass rusher at 21. I think that could go either way. A guy who you're like, wow, really good for a number of years, or a, ooh, that was a wasted first round or early second round pick. Then we get to Graham Barton at 22. I think this guy is going to be very, very good. You can play him at center, you can play him at guard, you can play him at tackle. Whatever you need him to do on the offensive line, he seems to be able to do it. He seems very technically sound, smart, athletic. Yeah. A good team getting Graham Barton, you know, a team that either almost made the playoffs or just made the playoffs. I'd love to have Barton on the Dallas Cowboys. I would. That's a player who I think is going to make some Pro Bowls. Mims is after that. Long-armed, big guy. 8 total starts, though, in 3 years at Georgia. Some of that due to injury. Much of the injury issues were last season. He's risky. Cooper DeJean. Good tackler. Makes moves on the ball. 3 pick sixes in 2022. Daniel Jeremiah says, I wouldn't rule out a move to safety where his strengths as a player would be featured. Yeah, I could see that too. Jeremiah has Jerzan, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Newton, an interior defensive lineman. This is really the first interior defensive lineman whose name comes up. Probably won't go in the first round. No one's saying he's Vita Vea. But if you're looking for an interior defensive lineman with a quick first step, even though he's not as big as a Vita Vea, or going back to a Vince Wilfork, he might be your guy. Then Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. I like what Daniel Jeremiah says about how this guy stays upright and can get out and make blocks. Also, has some work to do. Then we get to Mitchell, wide receiver, out of Texas. I'm just going to say about Mitchell and Worthy, who Jeremiah has at 31. Where were you guys on first and goal from the, what was it, 12-yard line late in the Sugar Bowl when Texas seemed to have nothing, needing a touchdown? Was it to win the game? I think they were down 6, and there was just nothing there. So count me out on the two Texas receivers. McKinstry, speed is a concern. Pro Day helped him, according to Daniel Jeremiah. Doesn't seem as good in supporting the run. Can be beaten deep. Probably more than anyone since the end of the college football season. This guy was going to be the first cornerback taken, and now he's not. I'm not sure what kind of a pro player he will be. Then Cooper, the linebacker. That's our first linebacker, right? From Texas A&M. Daniel Jeremiah says, ready to start right away. Unless you're an edge, you know, linebackers, like interior linebackers, guys to play the middle in a 4-3 or a 3-4, just don't seem to have the juice to go early in drafts. Cooper will be an interesting, probably going round 2. Best for Cooper will probably be to go to a team that already has a lot else on defense and is looking to kind of shore up the middle of the front 7. And then I'm going to end, I won't end with Ladd McConkey because we haven't talked about Nix and Penix, but McConkey could be real good. Yeah. I think the Rams would love him. I think the Niners would love him. You know, the Niners and Rams seem to know how to win some games. So if you don't want the Rams and Niners to get better, you might want to take McConkey before the Rams and Niners are on the clock, especially if you're an NFC team, because he's going to help your offense instantly with what he can do. Nix is 33rd, according to Daniel Jeremiah. I'm not big on him. Very experienced, though. Probably going to be in the NFL for a while. Strikes me more as a Gardner Minshew type than a franchise quarterback. Jackson Powers Johnson is one of those. Some love him, some don't. I don't think there's enough out there to convince me that he's worthy of a pick in the first round. And then we get to Penix at 35, according to Daniel Jeremiah. Then funny, Nate Wiggins, whose speed, right? Whose speed basically is the reason why he would be drafted. But can he play the position at the NFL level? That just because you're fast doesn't mean you can defend wide receivers in the pro game. But Penix at 35, I want to believe in Penix. I think someone's going to take a shot at him in the first round, maybe late first round, certainly early second round if he's there. My concern about Penix is if you pressure him and make him move off his spot, is he as good? I'm not questioning his athleticism. I'm just questioning, is he as good of a quarterback if you make him move off his spot and that's not the design of the play? Because so many of his accurate throws at Washington were straight dropbacks, sets in, reads the defense, and rips it. He strikes me sort of as an old school pocket passer. It's not that he can't move. I don't think he prefers it. I'll stop there. That's enough. I've gone long enough. I'm sure you have your own opinions. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Enjoy the draft. We'll give you some post on the first round or post first and second round in our next podcast. The Todd Wright Toddcast, presented by Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers. Thanks for listening.